I'm Courtney Romano, and this is The Break Breakdown. Let's talk numbers. Kinsley Versus is approximately 50 minutes split into 7 different episodes. Each episode required a single day of shooting. The story features 15 characters, and the script required 7 different locations. These are just some of the specifics that told us how much money we needed to film this project. And as far as budgets go, Kinsley Versus is modest by industry standards. But even so, we knew we still needed to fundraise to meet our budget. Indie film is known for being scrappy, cutting corners wherever possible. But one place we knew we didn't want to cut corners was in paying our artists. And to be completely transparent, once we were on set, everyone was making a day rate of roughly $200. So between pre-production, being on set, and post, 50 independent artists have worked on Kinsley Versus. Even on a small film shoot, it takes a village. Joining me to talk more about the budget and how we fundraised is one of my co-producers, Sarah States. And a very important side note, Sarah also plays Edie in Kinsley Versus. Welcome to The Break Breakdown, Sarah.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. I think to give our audience kind of a frame of reference, your life is so robust right now. You're not just working on this project. You have a million things going on. So can you give people a sense of where you are in the world and what you're doing right now?
Well, when I started working on this project, I was in a much different place than I am right now. I hadn't had my first child yet, so I was probably pregnant, and now I have a 19-month-old. I am in grad school at an acting program, which is affiliated with Brown and a theater here in Providence called Trinity Repertory Theater, which is like its own full-time job. So balancing mom, that, producing a doc feature with one of my collaborators, and just trying to stay present in all of those different areas.
I feel like you could choose one of those areas and you'd be like, yes, it's a full-time job, but you just listed out like 7 full-time jobs. So I'm tired for you.
Well, you know what it's like too.
When this comes out, I will have had my second child. So I am right now very pregnant and very tired with that full-time job of growing human.
While taking care of another one.
While taking care of the first one, yes. So let's talk about how we met. In the last episode, Benji and I were talking about how a lot of times you meet your collaborators along the way, people that you work with, maybe you went to undergrad with, or you know from different parts of your career. But you and I have only known each other for about 3 years at this point.
So we met just before the pandemic. The timeline's fuzzy for me because I think that I responded when I was acting in New York to a backstage ad for Screen Test, which was your short film. And at the same time, I think that Kennedy, everyone knows him by Milky White, we had worked together in the past and you were looking for an actor for Screen Test. And I think he referred me to you. So I auditioned and that's how we met.
We basically spent about 12 hours together in February 2020. And then come January 2021, I was doing a reading of Kinsley Versus and I was like, oh, you know who'd be fantastic and just kill this part for Edie? It would be Sarah. I want to hear Sarah read it. I reached out to you to do that table read. And I just remember you giving me such great feedback on Edie. There were all these holes with the character, which was appropriate for the time that it was. That was part of the process. And you were asking these questions. Not only were you asking the questions, but when I saw you do the table read of the character, I was like, oh, okay, there's this whole angle that I could lean into that I'm seeing because of the way that Sarah's presenting her. And so there was all this great feedback that was coming to me story-wise. But then you and I got into a conversation via email, I think, about producing and working on that project.
Yeah. I thought, oh, this might be a really good opportunity to throw my hat in the ring to like work behind the scenes and learn a little bit more about what that looks like. I like collaborating with you. I like that you're a mom and then your other collaborators too, like Allie, who's our costume designer. She's a mom as well.
Yeah, there were actually like a bunch of moms and some dads on set. I'm glad to hear that you liked that because that felt very validating to me because there's so much of my life that's like, you can only be a mom or be an artist, which is a line in Kinsley.
Yeah, exactly. I hadn't had the experience of being a mom yet and like also trying to have a career. Like that was not something that I like could fully grasp at the time. So to watch you all do it, like, you know, I wanted to like sort of surround myself in that environment and sort of learn from you all who were doing it yourselves. So yeah, the writing spoke to me, but also like who you are and where you are in life and all the people that you surround yourself with, I was really interested in. And I mean, like the people you surround yourself with, you've known a lot of the people that you've collaborated with like on Screen Test and Kinsley for a really long time. You go back to college and maybe before that, and that sort of like really fun, comfortable dynamic is like always around. Being able to like keep it light, joke around, trust each other and your talent and your vision, because you've known each other for so long. And I just wanted to be like a part of that sort of set environment. It's not something that I've ever, you know, really experienced before, to step into like an environment where there is that natural camaraderie and friendship was really nice.
And I would put you in that same category of talented, nice person, can get shit done, but also like we can have a good time. I think it's a good time to take a quick break. And then when we come back, Sarah and I will talk about one of the last taboos in our culture. Money, honey. This episode of The Break Breakdown is brought to you by My Kitchen, a farm-to-table catering and event space located in Forest Hills. My Kitchen serves seasonal American cuisine in a beautiful setting that accommodates up to 150 guests. Plus, there's a private outdoor garden. Now, take a moment to review your to-do list. What are you planning in the next year and a half? Maybe a wedding, a baby shower, a graduation party, a corporate dinner. You name it, My Kitchen is the place for your event. And now it's time for a little breakdown. My Kitchen provided on-set catering during the filming of Kinsley Versus. The food was healthy, fresh, and perfectly cooked, and the planning and delivery was totally hassle-free. For more information, visit mykitchenforesthills.com. Or you can call them 718-544-5644. And for a limited time, book an event at My Kitchen and receive a 10% discount using the code word Kinsley. Check out mykitchenforesthills.com.
We're here with Sarah States, one of the four producers on Kinsley Versus, and we're about to talk about fundraising. The whole budget for this entire project from beginning to end was $70,000. And here's how the budget kind of split up by category. 48% of our budget went to the cast and crew. Then about 22% of the budget went to our post-production team, and 11% to equipment and gear, and finally 6% to location, food, transport, stuff like that. There are tons of other things that we've paid for that can go in different buckets, but those are the main ones. And the main ones happen to be the artists who worked on it. In terms of how we raised both publicly and privately, we raised about 60% of our budget. And then we did a crowdfunding campaign that raised about 40% of our budget. It's hard to talk about money, but it is even harder to ask for money. And Sarah, I don't know about you, but this was the first time that I had ever gone out to fundraise basically anything, let alone something like over the $10,000 mark, which to me is like, whoa, that's a lot of money. Had you done any fundraising before?
The only time I've ever really done that before is fundraising for charity. Having to ask for money for anything is always hard, especially when you do it the second time to the same people. I tend to think I keep people in the loop of what I'm doing. They know that I'm acting and producing. They know that at times that means I need money for projects. So it's not like a total surprise, but I always start with people who love you the most. And I think that was like what I tried to do. Went down the list of family, even like extended family. And for me, most of the time, I ask via email. Honestly, if I'm not talking to you like all the time on the phone or whatever, to receive the email can almost be easier because I can get all the information down. I can send proof of what I'm working on, all of these different things. So I prefer to do it that way. But if you want to get on the phone, like I'm happy to get on the phone. So I go down the list of my family first. And then what I honestly do is I just go through all of my contact lists because like privately, I was asking for larger sums of money from people that are closer to me or people within the industry that I know have the funds and the passion for art who might give more. Right. And then like when we got to the crowdfunding raise for the rest of the money, that's when I could send a link and a more informal ask, not to people who I've supported in the past, or we've had a conversation or a collaboration, who I know like want to support artists like us and films like ours and things like that. I think the most important thing to remember is you just don't know unless you ask. Like, there's no shame in asking. Like, it's just anyone is able to say no, and a no is an answer, and that's okay.
Let's say 2 or 3 years ago, if someone had said, oh, Courtney, you're going to have to raise $70,000, I would have been like, from who? I don't even know who would do that. But then as you start thinking about it, you start thinking through who believes in me, who believes in my projects, what institutions believe in me. All of that stuff actually built into our crowdfunding campaign for Indiegogo. We had the language, we had the mission, we had this whole kind of like concept of what we were doing. As you fundraise, you also become a better advocate of your story and your process and your project, even if you don't get the money. Do you think there's anything that you wish we might have done differently, or like this could have been better?
I mean, I think we took a lot of good steps. I think we did our private raise to the best of our ability before crowdfunding. I think crowdfunding should be avoided unless absolutely necessary to hit your final marks. If we were to go backwards, what I'd say for like the next project for our team, I would think about inflating the budget even further from the get-go. I think that would be my number one thing. And down the line, inflating the budget per line item.
Yeah, just to say the producing team didn't get paid. I, as a director and a writer, didn't get paid. I think it's good to be transparent about that.
If you have a good salary down on the page for yourself, it just adds to your credibility as an artist, which sounds so dumb. Even if you mark it down as a payment, it's still there. It's within the budget. And then if you exceed your fundraising expectations, that money has been budgeted appropriately that you can go back and give yourself that money. I think that's one of the main things that I would say.
So what you're saying is when you lay out a budget and you decide that you're going to go fundraising, don't start where you end up. Start where you need to start. Create the context for what you're making. And it feels paradoxical to say, make the budget bigger, because it's like, wait, don't we want to be able to make this with the smallest budget so that if we do have an investment, we get a bigger return? You're right that it's two things. It's spend money to make money, right? And then it's also, what's the marketing aspect of the budget? Everything is marketing. So if you are going to people who have money to spend, they want to see that you are taking yourself seriously, that it's a legitimate enterprise. And even though, to your point, we know what we're doing is legitimate and we don't have to put numbers around that. If you do put numbers around that, that's an easier language and an easier bridge to cross with people who may not be in the artist's seat all the time and maybe in more of the financing seat. So I think that's a brilliant point that you made. And it makes me want to make another budget right now for the feature film that I wrote. Sarah, this is really great. And I really appreciate you being here. And I also just want to say I appreciate you on so many levels, from your acting talent to your producing talent to who you are as a person. And I know that I'll say this in some kind of a speech somewhere at the premiere screening or whatever, but I just also want it to be recorded how much I appreciate you.
Thank you. Likewise.
Don't go anywhere just yet. We've got one more thing for you. This season, we're talking about how we made a digital series. But regardless of the medium, if you're making something, you're in a process. And since there are so many different approaches to process, we decided to ask other artists about theirs. This is the final word.
My name's Charles O. Anderson. I call myself a kinetic storyteller. I am a choreographer, artistic director of Dance Theater X, an Afro-contemporary dance theater company. I have been a college dance professor for over 20 years. I'm interested in the notion of testimony and bearing witness, or put more specifically, telling the truth. Truth to me is a holistic concept. It is always in conversation with real time lived experience. When I think about times when I've been stuck, it's often been when I'm so focused on the artistic product and life comes at me and reminds me that I'm trying to tell the truth, not to replicate a fantasy of the truth. So what comes to mind specifically was a spate of about 5 years, where as I was making work about social injustice, particularly at the birth of the Black Lives Matter movement, I experienced a number of deaths and loss, and I tried to ignore those. And what ended up happening is that the work felt more and more academic and more for the sake of acceptance rather than to process and give sanctuary in the middle of emotional torment. I needed to be angry. I needed to fall apart in order to come back together. I needed to stop doing the work in order to return to the work. I needed to grieve. And that ended up bringing back to the truth of my work, which lives in the notion that catharsis is redemptive.
Today's episode of The Break Breakdown was hosted by me, Courtney Romano. It was executive produced by Benjamin Shaw, with audio and music supervision from Match Zimmerman. It was produced by Sarah States and created by me, Courtney Romano. Season 3 of The Break Breakdown is made possible through the generous support of Eddie and Wendy Shaw, with special thanks to Craig and Elle Hansen. And don't forget, you can watch the full series of Kinsley Versus now on YouTube. Just go to the show notes for the link. The Break Breakdown is a project of Queensbird Films.